Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, alcoholic. Good morning. All part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. You can find all of our podcasts. All of my local friends doing local podcasts. Very, 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 very proud of them. Actually, I had somebody reach out to me yesterday, wants to join us on... Well, I don't know what she wants. I'm not sure what she's looking for. But another person that podcast for me, talked to her, and apparently she's interested and wants to do a podcast. So it's great. It's a great platform. A lot of fun. I love, podcasting's a lot like life, really. Bear with me. When I first, before I did anything, you know, I was watching like Joe Rogan. I love Joe Rogan's podcast. And what I loved about Joe Rogan's podcast is that it was just a couple people talking, right? You know, like, yeah, that's great. It's fun. I love the chat. I love that he goes a few hours, you know? I mean, I love that challenge. I've tried. Longest I can probably do a podcast for is an hour. And that's being considerate of me and the other person. But I just loved it. But the problem with Joe Rogan's podcast, and it's so simple looking, there's not a lot of, you know, I don't know, not a lot of fluff. But he has like millions of people that view it and listen. And you're like, well, that's all right. I just want to still try. You know, I love that. I love the umbrella of, I'll just try it. Probably you'll fail, but I'm going to go ahead and try it. You know, I have an out, right? Escape. And you start trying it, and you know, the reality is it's really just talking, right? It's just who's listening. And I did want to say thank you. I mean, I don't really pay much attention to numbers. I don't really, it doesn't matter. Does not matter. We do all this for free. We're all volunteering our time and having fun podcasting. Numbers don't matter to me, but I went, you know, I'm looking at the numbers because we do other podcasts. You know, this is a thing we like to do for other people as a platform, a place for people to come podcast. So you look at the numbers, and my buddy Carlos, he's very competitive. So he's always like, oh, because we do this in Pearl Jam podcast, and he's like, thinks it's the best. And it is. I mean, I think it's great. I love it. But, you know, because of him, I end up looking at numbers, and turns out there's like quite a few people listening to this podcast. So thank you. I appreciate it. This podcast has only been about, you know, just my life after getting sober, you know. And I appreciate you allowing me to do it. I mean, I would do it, but I appreciate you listening. If nobody listened, I would probably still do it, I guess. But yeah, I would have to take a hard look at what I'm doing. So, thank you. But you know, you start, you know, getting a little attention, and then, you know, and then some other people have been podcasting, and they're getting some attention. So, you know, I'm watching, but it's not Joe Rogan attention. You know, we're not hitting millions of people; we're just hitting our local area. So you have to kind of be careful that you don't set your sights too high or your expectations too high, because in the podcast world, because everybody is doing a podcast, you don't want to set them too high because you don't want to discourage yourself. No one's listening. I haven't hit a million. I quit. You know, I'm a big fan of YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube. That's how my attention is. It's like 10 minute attention span, 15 minute attention span. I can watch, you know, these fun little things, whatever it is. But I watch something, and I look at, and I'm always paying attention to how many people viewed it. And I'm like, this is such garbage. And so many people viewed it and I'm viewing it. So I don't know. I don't know what the trick is to creating success in that genre, but I know one thing. You can't do it for the numbers. And I also don't have a business. You know, the Social Podcast Network is a business that we, it's a place. It's not, a, I mean, I guess it's a business, but it's always been just about having a place for people to come podcast. You know, if we can create some revenue maybe one day, that's fine, but it's not about that. But you want people putting out good content. So I just had somebody reach out to me and is interested in starting a new podcast. That would make 10. 10 podcasts on the Social Podcast Network. The funny thing is that, you know, my wife and I started podcasting in our kitchen. Podcast with me, babe. I just want to hear this. You know, I want to get over the hump of hearing my own voice and hearing how silly I sound. And, you know, I needed to get all that out of the way. And let's try this. A couple years later, we have 9 people podcasting. And I actually have 2 more. In fact, the girl that wants to start a podcast is coming on the Rehoboth Social Podcast next week. Doing a podcast with Sheryl Crow, not the singer. Told my wife, I'm doing a podcast with Sheryl Crow. The singer? I go, no, not there. But I tell you what, the Sheryl Crow that's coming on, she's an amazing local girl doing a lot of local great stuff. She's been on the Rehoboth Social Podcast before. People keep saying, you need to have Sheryl Crow on the podcast. I go, she's been on. Might have had to reach out. I said, listen, Sheryl, people are like saying you're doing a lot of cool stuff, so I'm going to have her back on today. Giving local people a voice. I think that's a lot of fun. One small business helping another. Like my buddy Matt used to do. So it is the Monday after Thanksgiving. And we all survived.
It's a mystery to me. We have agreed with which we have agreed. And you think you have to want more than you need. Until you have it all, you won't be free. Society, you're crazy breed. Hope you're not lonely without me.
I think that's a appropriate song. Yeah, so we got through Thanksgiving, thank God. That was actually had a great, great Thanksgiving. Kept it small. My latest thing that's aggravating me. Actually, you know what? I don't want to say that. I want to keep this positive. In fact, I'm just going to read. I listened to the podcast. I did a podcast about talking about my Uncle Mike, and I was feeling that night, I was like, what do you do that for? What do you badmouth your uncle for? It's not what this is about. And I ran the other morning and I listened. In fact, I ran yesterday and listened to that podcast. It was actually, I thought it turned out actually very nice. I think there is a lot of, I think it's important that I recognize some of these issues that I have with other people. I think it's important I understand why I have the issues. You know, my Uncle Mike and my cousin and their side of the family, you know, they don't have to like me. You know, it's not required. It's not required for them to like me, for me to be kind to them. And I've always been kind. I think I've always had that resentment that I just haven't fit in or felt like I fit in. So sometimes an opportunity will arise and it allows me to like throw a few kicks in. And I didn't mean that. No, you know what? like I said, it's not what this is about. Me working on myself is to help me one day prevent me from feeling or getting so affected by stuff like that, right? You know, recognizing it. It's always about recognizing it. You know, listen, Uncle Mike don't like you. You have to figure that out. You have to live with that. It's okay. And he likes me well enough, but he doesn't like me like I want him to like me. And I don't even know what that is. Because honestly, if they had invited us over for Thanksgiving, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to go over there. So I have to figure out what my beef is. Not everything goes my way. Not everything looks the way that I want it to look. And not every outcome is what the outcome that I want. It's how do I react. It did make me mad that he didn't call me and give me just to say, you know, condolences about my mom. I thought that would have been nice. Not required. Not required. So I want to try to get on a little bit more of a positive note. You know, it's all really, unfortunately, about the same kind of shit, you know. My life would be absolutely perfect if it wasn't for other people. I mean, it's other people that make me reflect or make me behave or make me wish I had behaved or, you know, whatever it is. But can you imagine just kind of cruising along with nobody else in the world? You can't go wrong. You can't do right. You can't do wrong. Can't hurt anybody's feelings. I wonder what that's like. To be void of like guilt and shame and these weird things. Because all that's based on what somebody else is thinking. Or should it be based on what our higher power is thinking? You know, it talks about that, this relationship with the higher power. And I think that that's kind of what it's talking about. Is let's say there wasn't anybody on the planet. I mean, I remember as a, you know, as a young parent watching my kids and, you know, my, you know, David or whatever, you know, would fall or knock something over and right away they look at me. Ooh, like, what's dad's reaction going to be? And this reaction is going to tell me how to behave. So it's like learning from other people's reactions. Shame, like, did I do something wrong? Did I do something amazing? Did I do something wrong in the past? You know, what's weighing on me? What is that? I wonder what that would be like, void of all that. If there was nobody on the planet, then who would you behave well for? And I think that's what the relationship with the higher power is. You know, I've talked about Matt. You know, Matt was my, I don't like to say he was my higher power because he was just a guy. But he had the power to make me think twice about how I acted. And it was all self bullshit. You know, the only reason was because I wanted, I mean, I wanted to be friends with Matt. I wanted to be friends with the friends that were with Matt. I wanted to be kind of associated with that group, that level of people that were surrounded by him. There was a lot of things that I myself wanted and was willing to behave better to get it. I don't think that's bad. I mean, I think that it is, I don't think it's bad. I think it's important that I understand it, though. Right? I think it's important that I recognize that that happens. The downside of that is that because what happens is I start to kind of paint this weird picture like, all right, bro, take it easy. And then I start thinking, you know, yeah, me and Matt and his friends are going to start becoming tight and I'm going to start being recognized as a friend of Matt's. And I start to create a picture that's not really true. It's not really what's going on. This is the picture that I'm painting in my head. But the reality is none of these people are thinking about me. So what happens over time is the picture starts to, it doesn't start to turn out like I had painted. And I get a little grumpy. That is a, I think that's a common pitfall that a lot of people fall into, whether it's trying to get sober or just in life. I think this these kind of things happen way before I even thought about getting sober. You know, it's like when I wanted to be, actually the first time I ever drank. I didn't drink because I just wanted to get alcohol in my system. I drank because I wanted to impress my buddy Danny. Me and Danny are going to be better friends now. We drink. You know, I looked up to Danny. He was an older kid, a couple of years older, cool hair. I talked about it. I liked him. I wanted to be, he was my best friend, I guess. If you had, who's Danny? That's my best friend. If you said to Danny, who's Tom? He'd say, oh, he's my dad's, a guy that works for my dad's son that I maybe have to take care of. I don't think his excitement of our relationship was as big as the excitement that I had for our relationship. But you know that's kind of what happens, and you kind of just like about the guy with the milk, you know, the guy with the cookies. You paint this picture of how awesome we're going to be and how it's going to be down the road, and when it starts to not really work out, we get a little pissed. Happens. I don't think it'll ever stop happening. It's just me recognizing what it's about. And I have to just keep remembering, you know, and that's what the relationship, I think, with the higher power is, that I think in the end you want to treat your higher power, God or, you know, whatever it is, and get the same, give that power the same respect as you would like my buddy Matt or my buddy Danny. You act and you behave like you're being watched by your higher power, and you at the same time want to not as much impress, but show that you're into it. You know, I've shared the example. You know, I used to drive over to my buddy. Matt used to call, hey, man, come over. Let's go to a meeting, man. Let's go to a meeting. Like, all right. Drive over there all fast, cutting in and out of traffic, one hand on the wheel, tilted over, music up, unseat belted, you know, whatever. Pull up in his driveway, set up in my chair, 10 and 2, seat belt on, music down. Hitting all the rules, checking off all the rules. Matt would get in, hey, Matt. Matt would look at me and say, man, this guy's really, he's living his best life right here, right? Drive him over to the meeting all carefully. Make sure you get there safe. Go to a meeting. You know, after the meeting, I drop him off. All right, take it easy. Slide back down to my seat. Turn the music back up. You know, one hand on the wheel. Revert back to my old behavior. Because my higher power wasn't looking. But over time, you start trying to take some of that and be... and carry that into every day. You know, my higher power died. You know, he passed away. It's, I don't know how many, 5 or 6 years now. Was not expecting that. Now I'm like, shit, is he watching me now? Great. Do you ever wonder that? Like, you know, is someone that's passed on still able to watch you? My mom passing, I wonder if she can watch me or see me. Hello, Mom. It's funny, my son and I, we went and hit golf balls on Saturday. And he goes, you know, he kisses his fingers, taps his chest, and points to the skies for Grandma Jean. You know, like, this golf ball's for Grandma Jean. And then he cracked it. It's fun. I feel like I'm kind of repeating myself, but there's not really. I've had to start this podcast over a couple times because I'm just, you know, sometimes there's not much to talk about. It's the same shit. There's nothing new here. Self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. Same problem. Nothing new. Yeah. But I like to talk. I like to share. I shouldn't say that. I don't really like to talk. I like to get what's off my chest and put it out there. Oh, November 30th, Protection for All. Sounds like a Metallica song. Oh, that's Injustice for All. All right, here we go. At the personal level, anonymity provides protection. Oops. At the personal level, anonymity provides protection for all members from identification as alcoholics, a safeguard often of special importance to newcomers. At the level of press, radio, and TV and films, anonymity stresses the equality in the fellowship of all members by putting the brake on those who might otherwise exploit their AA affiliation to achieve recognition, power, or personal gain. Attraction is the main force in the fellowship of AA. The miracle of continuous sobriety of alcoholics within AA confirms this fact every day. It would be harmful if the fellowship promoted itself by publicizing through the media of radio and TV the sobriety of well-known public personalities who became members of AA. If these personalities happen to have slips, outsiders would think our movement is not strong and they might question the veracity of the miracle of the century. Alcoholics Anonymous is not anonymous, but its members should be. Yeah, I love that. And I struggle with that a little bit when I do this podcast because, and I've been around this program a long time and I do get it, you know, and I've said it before. Listen, if you are new, get to a meeting, get a sponsor, don't listen to this podcast. I mean, this podcast is life after putting down the drink. And I've grinded through it, meetings after meetings after meetings. This is what life comes to. It's a good life, but it isn't easy. And if you're new, go, you know, get a sponsor, make coffee, be the first person there, shake hands, introduce yourself, all that. I don't have any recommendations. Well, I just kind of gave some, didn't I? go to meeting. 90 and 90. One day at a time, all that stuff. If you're new to getting sober, this isn't the podcast. Because unfortunately, time does take time, and after time, I get a little grumpy and cynical. I talked about, you know, just before this all hit, I was going to meetings. I was like, fuck meetings. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I was looking at people like, he ain't going to make it. Like, what's the matter with me? That's how this disease evolves. It's fucking shady. I may not drink, but I was becoming quite toxic. Unbearable. But it's like, you know, ebb and flow of everything. And there's times, you know, I'm deep in this program and I'm close to my higher power and I'm turning it over and I'm using them and I'm praying. And there's times where I'm just not drinking and analyzing all my bad behavior. And when I say bad behavior, I mean, you know, not doing all the things that got me sober. And then not being able to go to meetings is definitely a challenge. I have really, really, really missed going to a meeting, even for just the fact of getting the fuck out of my house for an hour. Damn. Oop, got to go to a meeting. Bye-bye. I miss that. How many people go to a meeting and afterwards they feel better and wonder why? Inconvenience. Doing something other than what you would love to do. It's fucking annoying. But man, it's like medication. My inconvenience is my medication. My suffering is my medication. You would think that doing everything that we wanted to do would make us happy, and it's really the opposite. How tricky is that? That's some shit right there, right? The things that you think you love to do are not what brings you happiness, and the shit that you don't want to do and end up having to do are the things that brings you the most joy. And it's all about, what do I want? Do you want this? Yes, then don't do it. There should be a list of shit you don't want to do and a list of things you want to do. And if you want to feel better, go to the list of the shit you don't want to do. Days off. Oh, my God, that's just like a star, right? There's a star by the word days off. Some of the worst days I have of the week. Now, how will I project that? Projecting some of the finest moments of my life for a day off. How will I project a day's worth of work? Projecting some of the worst days of my life. Oh, I got to go to work. But when it starts, when it happens, complete opposite. Complete opposite. Some of my best days that I have are the days that I work the hardest. And some of the worst days that I have are the days I don't do shit. Sundays are my fucking worst day of my life. But it's a day off. I don't even have to work. I got nothing to do on Sundays. Absolutely fucking worst day of my life. I told my wife we got almost going to fight you. So I said, please, I don't want to just sit around and watch TV. That's a whole nother fucking topic right there. Because, you know, I'm like, I don't want to sit around and watch TV. Like, that's all we do. I kind of put that on her. Like, that's what she only wants to do. And that's not true. And that wasn't even fair. Because after a while, I was like, you know, I want to turn the TV on. I'm just as guilty. That's another podcast. Do we imply shit that other people do when actually it's us doing it? Probably. But Sundays, the days we have nothing to do, are the worst days of my life. And then, listen, they're not that bad. But I'm just, you know, I'm trying to make a point. It's uncomfortable, stressful, long. There's nothing like a good day's worth of work, make a nice day's worth of money, come home, you know, have dinner, sit down on the couch around 7 o'clock, and, you know, maybe watch some TV for a couple hours, and go to bed. That's a perfect day. But when we start, like yesterday, we actually had somewhat of a busy day. We saw the, I'm going to post it on my, you don't have an Instagram? I'm sorry about last night, Instagram. Check it out. Reach out. Say something. Give me a, how you doing? Yesterday we were at, you know, yesterday we had some things to do. I wanted to put up the Christmas stuff. And every year we usually buy the kids a new blow up, you know, for our front yard that we, you know, we plug in. It's like a blows up, big snowman or something. And we were at Home Depot. On the way to Home Depot, we went through an intersection and a state cop had the intersection blocked off from the other direction. And we were like, uh-oh, Joe Biden's coming. Joe Biden lives here. I don't know if I've told you all that, but Joe Biden actually lives in this town, in the town that I live in. He has a house here. And he's always had a house here. So, and, you know, we've been, I don't want to say dealing, but managing Joe Biden's comings and goings here. But now he's a fucking president, man. It's a whole thing. So we passed this blocked-off intersection, and we're like, oh, shit, Joe Biden's, what's it called? The, not entourage, but his, whatever that word is that describes a bunch of black cars coming down the road. That's just, what the fuck is it? Anyway, I don't know. It'll come to me in a second. But this whole motorcade, excuse me, you know, we're like, shit, Joe Biden's motorcade's coming. So we went over to Home Depot and just kind of parked along the road. And then I filmed this Joe Biden's motorcade come by. So I'm going to post that on the Instagram. It's pretty, I don't know. My dad's like, Delaware's going to have a rough 4 years. My dad's, you know, does not like Joe Biden. But I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. I like Joe Biden. Whatever. What was my point? I don't even know. I forgot. I I forgot. What the fuck was I even saying? I don't know. Anyway, how much time we got here? Oh, geez, we went a little long. All right, listen, have a great day.
When you want more than you have, you think you need. And when you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. I think I need to find a bigger place. 'Cause when you have more than you think, you need more space. Society, your crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me.